Man and woman today can enter the consciousness of love, which lies behind the part of the brain that controls the genitals. This is done through right loving, by being the feeling in the vagina or penis, by not trying to stay aloof or hold on to a separate identity. Then the two poles of love on earth, the masculine and the feminine, are united in the magical consciousness, the divine presence of their mutual Godhead. There are two different energies of love, one in the upper body and one in the lower. The upper body vibrates with a very fine energy, felt particularly in the solar plexus, and if you are a woman, in the breasts. This is the finest and sweetest of her psychic energies of love. This love gives milk to the child and holds its beloved to the bosom without taint of sexuality. It can be felt as longing for the unattainable, yearning for purity and ideal beauty. It is the impulse behind the idea of platonic love. This is the upper pole of love. The lower pole, below the waist, is focused in the genitals, although the energy of it is continuously present, and normally not discerned, in the lower back, base of the spine, thighs and legs. If you are very still, you will eventually locate the distinct feeling of this energy. When perceived without emotion or sexual associations, the lower energy is felt to be just as pure as the higher love, but the sensation is more grainy or tangible. This energy, rising out of the earth itself, is pure vitality or life force before emotion as sexuality or sentiment enters it. In very few men or women is the body above the waist integrated with the body below it. The function of man or the masculine principle is to unify these two poles of love in woman. Although there is the same lack of integration in him, he has only to focus on loving and delighting his partner. Everything will flow from that, including the resolution of his own sexual disharmony and frustration. The kissing of the woman's breasts and nipples is extremely important. They require a very gentle and loving physical approach by man. Many men are greedy, grabbing, and even violent in their fondling and kissing of the breasts. Instead of adding to the woman's loving response, this behavior destroys the sensitivity in her breasts, and she stops feeling the love in them. When woman's whole system flows freely, she is fulfilled with divine love. For this union of the upper and lower in the body, the ideal and the earthly, the unattainable and the attainable, produces the single current of divine love, a radiant golden energy. And when this is fully achieved, women are reunited with the original woman, physically, psychologically, and spiritually. Her discontent vanishes, and she is no longer dependent on any external activity for a sense of fulfillment or purpose. She may still engage in her work or art, or motherhood, but is no longer attached to her pursuits as a need. All possible fulfillment is in this one yoga or union. As you can see from the world around you, it is rare indeed for a woman to be in this natural, original state. Yet woman's total sexual motivation is to make this divine connection through man. Even her desire to produce children is secondary. Because the divine connection is so rarely made, woman today is not really herself. She stays mostly in the romantic upper body, yearning for the unattainable, and periodically or promiscuously engaging the lower body in sex in a futile endeavor to make the connection. It evades her, so she remains virtually two people, divided in herself, until quite often, in disillusionment or old age, she cuts off from sex and lives a half-life of idealized love. In some extreme cases, she will be called frigid. In other cases, her cutting off will exacerbate the tendency in man towards impotence. To see through the sexual problems associated with this lack of integration, you have to see that in divine or real love, the union is not only of man and woman and their two bodies, but of each of them within their own bodies. The tendency in woman to remain in her yearning makes her vulnerable to sentiment and false romance. True romance is not a passing thing. It is not a box of chocolates, an anniversary remembered, or sweet words, pretty things, and beautiful evenings together. Indeed, these are a part of the romance of living, but so is death, which robs woman of all her romantic illusions. In the romance of living, you can't have the good without the awful shock. True romance is the myth of life, the stupendous adventure of man and woman discovering together through love, through each other, that there is no death, no end to life or love that does not hold or fear.